I find myself getting blessed. And I feel like if I'm the only one that gets blessed, that's okay. It's not my desire. But God really opens my eyes when I start kind of preparing. And he speaks to me. And so that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. But, you know, my prayer is that you guys hear directly from the Holy Spirit today. I'm just a conduit. If I say anything wrong, Holy Spirit will correct it, and you'll hear it the right way. So,
The buzzer goes off.
Well, there's a few people that will correct me in their own mind, and that's fine. I have taught 6 times before in Fort Worth, and what I do each time is I try to do a little summary. It's like when you watch some of these binge series you watch on Netflix or, you know, HBO or whatever, they kind of, it's like, here's a recap, you know, last season, here's a recap of the previous. I like to do that, and the reason I like to do that is there's always one common theme in what I'm going to say, and it's always the same thing, and I don't hear it being preached at many churches, and so that's why I'm going to recap that. So before I get started, though, I do want to pray. So if everybody will bow their heads, please. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we thank you so much for your unconditional love, that you've loved us no matter what. You created us, you chose us, you gave us free will to accept your love, your grace, your forgiveness, and that love is in us, and that love is who we are, and that love defines us, and that love will lead us through all things for the glory of the kingdom of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks today, and I pray that you give everybody ears to hear directly from the Holy Spirit, and that everybody walks out of here blessed. And I pray that this message shall be anointed by you and will go forth not to just the people in this room, but to others, and it'll go through their mouths to other people that need to hear it. We love you with all our heart, soul, and strength, and we thank you for this message in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, my first 6 messages, this will take about 10 minutes to kind of cover them, but the first one was the 10 virgins. And, you know, when God's speaking to the 10 virgins, he's speaking to the church, and 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. And the wise ones have oil in the lamp, and the foolish ones don't. And they go to the marketplace. And a lot of people have trouble with, like, oh, wow, you know, how do they get in? They're virgins. They're part of the church. And so when you look at that, you kind of have to look at who is the church. So if you go to Revelation, you look at the 7 churches, God speaks to those 7 churches. And every one of those churches, he kind of says, you know, I love you, you've done this, but I have this against you, and you need to repent or else, you know. And he says that. And in the last one, he speaks to Laodicea, and I'm going to touch on this again. But he says, you've gotten rich and lazy, and you don't need me anymore. You must buy gold refined by me. So buy gold refined by me, not the marketplace. You don't go to the marketplace to get it. You get it from Jesus.
Yeah.
And so the 5 foolish virgins went to the law. They went to perform. The law is buying and selling. The law is performance. The law, you count. It's all equity. That's what the law is. And Jesus is free. You don't have to buy it. It's free. You just all they had to do was stay there and say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. I love you. You're my Lord and Savior. They're in. The oil will be instantly there. But they chose to go earn it. And so that's a real simple message, but it's one that's really troubled a lot of people. And so I wanted to bring that up. And, you know, in that sermon, and it's one of my better ones, I go into great depth on what does the church look like that has oil in their lamp. And, and you can read that, you know, later in the Gospels when he says, Lord, Lord, you know, when did I do these things? And he says, when you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, tended me when I was sick, you did it unto me. And the ones that were like, hey, I did all these great things, you know, it's like, I never knew you. So you clearly, it's, you know, the law is all about counting. If I do this, you know, on a condition, I get this in return. And the gospel is, I do it because I love you. There's no other reason I do it. So then my second sermon was on religion, the whore. And so if you kind of go back and you really kind of look at God's heart and God's desire for people, all men, women, were created with a conditional love in them. And it's called survival, you know. And conditional love and survival kind of means me first. You know, I want to survive, I want to live, I want to win, I want to control. And, you know, we used to hear Pastor Jim speak about, you know, the three temptations that Jesus went through and we all go through that represented the poor class, the middle class, and the rich class. You know, the first was just give me something to eat. The second was give me security. The third was give me control and riches of the world. But they're all selfish. They're all selfish motives. And so we're born with that nature to be selfish. And so God gave us the law to protect us from each other. Because if I'm selfish, I want your stuff. You know, I want to hurt your reputation. I want your spouse. I want your riches. I want, you know, whatever. And if I don't get it, I may get so mad and kill you. You know, you can look at Abel and Cain. So it's all about me, me, me as a human, because we're kind of created with that. And then God changes that by giving you unconditional love, which is his love. It's not yours, it's his. So the law was given to protect you from bad people, selfish people, from each other, yourself, and to prevent you from hurting other people. That was the intent of the law. The devil took that and said, okay, let's make this a religion. And all the kings have slept with the whore. And so what does the whore do? The whore sleeps with you for money. The bride sleeps with you for love. And there's a big difference. The law is performance. The gospel is free. It's unconditional. So the devil says, let's take the law, make it into a performance that you get into heaven if you perform. And that was never the intent. The law was always to protect you from other people. And the law has some glory, you know, but it's temporary. And the glory is only here. It's not eternal. It's not in the afterlife. It's only now that if you obey the law, you know, you will have some blessing, but it's a temporary earthly blessing. It's not a heavenly blessing. So the devil used that and he put it into a religion, and all religions of the world, whether it's, you know, Islam, Judaism, Catholicism, Buddhism, Confucianism, you name it, Hinduism, they're all based on performance. And the devil loves that because that can get people focused on themselves. Their will in control. They have faith in their own works and their own ability. And so God is going to destroy the whore in Revelation. And so we know that. So the next sermon was, you know, when you accept Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is unconditional love. And that's the grace, you know, that we're talking about. It's not the law. It's unconditional. It's you're forgiven. Accept my forgiveness. And that's it. You're now a white virgin. Nothing else. And that's it. Well, that unconditional love inside is your power for everything. It's your power to will and to do God's will. And with that, you can do anything that God wants. And you now have kind of like, I just turned the light switch on. Now I have electric current flowing through. If I'm selfish, I'm turning it off. Now the electric current can't come through. So as long as I say daily, I love Jesus, Jesus loves me, Jesus is in me, and the Holy Spirit, that's who I am. That's my new name. I am a creature of God, and I am an unconditional lover. Now I have power. And that power is I can do what the law was intended for. But perfect love, there's no need for the law. Jesus says there's no need for the law with perfect love. And perfect love casts out all fear. So the law produces fear because you're always like, did I measure up? Did I do good enough? I mean, we're all kind of brought up like that with a law background. So we're all kind of thinking, did I do enough? Am I going to make it? You know, whether it's business, whether it's relationships, You know, whether it's even in your life, you're thinking that way, and that's not what God wants you to think, because you aren't going to measure up. You aren't going to earn it. You're never going to do it, because only perfect people get into heaven, and that's Jesus, and Jesus is now in you, so you get in just through that. You don't have to do anything. So perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love is your power to do the will of God, and when you have perfect love, you're no longer thinking about, well, what do I get in return? You're not counting. And, you know, when you're under the law, you're judgmental, life's not fair, you're defensive, you have to defend yourself, you know, all those things come with the law. And you can kind of look in your own life, like, am I defensive? Am I critical? Am I judgmental? Am I unhappy? Do I feel like I'm a victim? You know, victims are under the law. Did you hear me? Victims are under the law. You know, under the gospel, you know, all that's gone. All that's been wiped out. And so it's really important to understand that, you know, with perfect love, there is no hierarchy. It's not like, well, I've got to love God first and others second, myself third. Well, if it's perfect, is perfect going to be a little bit different? No, it's just perfect love. You can't improve it. It doesn't have tiers. It's not that I'm second, third, fourth, fifth. It's that I'm going to love myself the way I love others, the way I love God, because it's His love. It's not yours. It's His love. And His love can't be flawed. It can't be tiered. It's going to be perfect. And that's what's in you. So you have to know that's in you and choose to believe that's in you by faith every day. So then my next sermon was on repentance. And in the Old Testament, repentance was always, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because I sin, and I have to repent because I keep sinning, and I can't stop keep sinning. And if I can really use my willpower to stop sinning, then I'll trade this sin for another sin. And then I'll start sinning someplace else. But in the New Testament, repentance means change your mind. Change who you are. So, you know, one of the things that led me to this group 30 years ago, 35 years ago, was that the message was, quit focusing on your sin. Don't stop sinning. Just love Jesus. Just go be in the presence of Jesus. Well, that was easy. I had too many sins to count, and I couldn't stop them because I was addicted to them. But going to Jesus was easy. And then when I'm in the presence of Jesus, I wasn't thinking about sin. When I was in the presence of Jesus, I didn't think about sin. When I fall in love, you know, with Jesus, I'm not sinning. When I'm outside of that, I'm sinning. You know, so repentance means change your mind. And you need to do that every single day. Every day. And it's by faith. By faith, you choose to believe who you are in Christ Jesus. And you choose to believe that you love others as He loves them. You choose to look at others the way Christ looks at them, the way God looks at them. You don't look at them as, well, what does Chad mean to me? Does he make me feel good? Does he like me? Is he interesting? I don't think like that. I think about, oh, there's a creature of God. God loves Chad. God made Chad perfect. And Chad's a blessing to the church. And if Chad's hurting, I hurt. If Chad's happy, I'm happy. Anything I can do to help Chad. And that's how I think. You know how I really think that way? About my kids. I'm always excited for my kids. If they're unhappy, I'm unhappy. If they're happy, I'm happy. That's the way God is. And so we have to just choose to think that way daily. And that's what repentance means. So as you'll start to see, as you see this trend, the unconditional love is really what's in you. That's your power. That's everything. And that's how you become a wise virgin. It's how you get out of the law. It's how you do the will of God. And you have to choose to believe that. So, but when you do that, now you have authority. You have authority when you have this perfect love in you. Because this perfect love is your, again, it's your conduit to the spiritual network of God. And you can hear the Holy Spirit. And now I can take authority over angels and demons. But that authority always has to line up to God's will. Meaning if I'm selfish, you know, demons are going to laugh. You know, like, hey, demon, do this. Hey, demon, I rebuke you. But if I'm still in a selfish nature, then they're not going to listen to me. In fact, they're going to start toying with me, you know. But if I'm in the Spirit in unconditional love, and that's my identity, now I can take authority over angels and demons. And angels always want to bless you. They want to bless you and bless others. They go before you, and they speak good things to you. They speak good things to people about you. Demons lie to you, and they lie to people about you. And if you are hearing lies, there's a good chance other people are hearing lies about you. And you're typically in a selfish realm when that's going on. Change your mind, change who you are, change who, how you think about yourself and who you are, and then all of a sudden, you now have authority, and you can stop those lies. You can bind them. You can bind the spirits. And that's very clear all over the Bible. And that was a really good message, too. My last message was on wisdom of God. And wisdom is something that, you know, God says 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year. And wisdom is in, you know, the Old Testament, and wisdom in the Greek means the love of knowledge. And, you know, there are certain people who don't want to love knowledge. You don't want to learn knowledge. It's too much of an effort. It's too much of a work. But in the kingdom of God, the love of knowledge needs to come from your love for others. So I want to bless others because I love them. And it's just my nature. Well, if I don't know anything, how can I bless them? I don't have any skills. I don't know how to do any roofing. I don't know how to do any cooking. I don't know how to do any construction. I don't know how to be a doctor. I don't know anything. I can't be a good steward. I can't bless them. So you want to learn knowledge to be a steward. The more knowledge you have, the more of a blessing you can be. So you want to learn because you can help other people. Now, if you're selfish, it's all about, I want to learn so I can control other people. And is that going on anywhere in the world right now? Is it going on in government? You know, the more knowledge they have, you know, you think about all this AI that's going on. I mean, knowledge in the hands of a selfish person wants to control and make everybody their slaves. Knowledge in the hands of a steward wants to bless other people and be a good steward. If you look at Solomon, when he became king, he said, Lord, give me wisdom so I may rightfully judge and rule and bless the people. This is too big a task. I don't know what to do, but give me wisdom to do the right thing for these people. It wasn't, give me wisdom so I can control them, give me wisdom so I can get rich, give me wisdom so I can have my, you know, harem. It was, give me wisdom so I can do the right thing. When you take on that unconditional love in you, you want to learn knowledge to be a blessing to other people. You want to, and what God says is, and God loves that. He's like, ask for wisdom. I'll always give it to you. I'll never withhold wisdom. I'm always wanting to give it to you. Well, wisdom is the love of knowledge to bless others, not the love of knowledge itself, and not the love of knowledge for yourself to control others. So it's important that you really understand that. So in these six sermons, the common theme is always the unconditional love in you. Do you see people through the unconditional love of God, or do you see people through conditional love, the law? Do I see people as what they can do for me? You know, how do they bless me? Or do I see people as what can I do for them? And my biggest example has been, you know, my kids. And the only one who's not here is Catherine. She's here in spirit. But I've never counted how many times I've done things for my kids. I've never thought about it. And I don't need a law that says I can't talk bad about them, I can't kill them, I can't, you know, do all these things. There's no law needed for me with my kids because I love them no matter what. And all the things that I'll do for them, they can never repay me. I've never thought about it. And that's the same with God. Same thing. And it's just, we have a little analogy of that here on earth. And that's my little grandchild there looking at me. It's so inspiration there. So knowing this, it's really clear that you have a simple understanding of selfish, selfless. Law, that's why it came, and then gospel, selfless. And that your unconditional love in you gives you the desire to do his will, to bless others, miracles will follow. You'll have authority over spirits. You'll learn knowledge because you want to bless others. So it's the common theme in everything is the unconditional love in you. So now what I want to preach on today is how to hear God. How do you hear God? And this is important. It's important because of the times we're in. It's important for your daily walk. And even if, some people think about, we're about to go through big tribulation, but people go through little tribulations in their own life, and they're huge to them individually. And so when you go through your own tribulations, you have to hear God. And so we're going to talk about, how you hear God. Revelations 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So the word hear or listen is mentioned almost 700 times in the Bible. The words God said is mentioned over 2,000 times in the Bible. So God's always speaking, and he wants you to hear. He's not speaking just not to talk to a wall. He's speaking because he loves you. If you were to ask my kids, I'm always speaking to them. I'm always giving them advice. I'm always warning them. I'm always giving them instruction. And I probably give it to them way more than they want it. And sometimes they ignore it. So you can really see a microcosm of the family relationship. Because God is our Father. And so how do we hear God? There's seven ways. At least what I've been, in the scriptures that I found. And I'm going to go through those with you. And not in particular order. But I'm going to focus on the first five first. So the easiest way to hear God is reading the Word. Right there. God put it down in writing. Here's what I'm saying. He's talking to us. You read the Word. And you have to have ears to hear that word, to listen to it. It says, faith cometh by hearing, not by doing. So you can read the word, and if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you'll understand it. You can hear through other Christians, a pastor, a Christian friend, a book that they've written, that you can hear from others, that are in the Spirit, that are speaking the Word of God. You can hear from nature. God says in Romans that even nature reveals, and you can hear it. And I think the most extreme version of hearing in nature is when the donkey talked to Balaam. But nature, it's all around us, and you can see God, and you can hear God through nature. Next is... we have references in both the Old and New Testament where God spoke directly, audibly, out loud to people. Those that were his heard him. Those that were not his would hear thunder or something. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't hear it. So hearing is for the children of God. It's not for the world. It's not for the world. And the fifth one is everybody has a conscience. You've been given... a spirit, a soul, and a body. And in your spirit, you are given love, conscience, and then free will. And this free will kind of governs your mind, your emotions. And so understanding, and you're given faith. But when your conscience, if it's governed by unconditional love, then right or wrong always depends on what's good for you. If your conscience is governed by unconditional love, then right or wrong is governed by what's right for the kingdom, what's right for the brethren. There's a huge difference. Applying in your mind right and wrong based on selfish reasons versus selfless reasons are all the difference in the world. And people that are very like-minded in everything they do can divide up and be on different sides. And we're seeing that right now in this country, in a big way, that are so alike in almost everything except for one thing. These people see it selfishly. These people see it selflessly. You know, selfishly, it's my body. It's my choice. It's my this. You know, I was made that. I want to be something different than what God created. These people over here is I love people unconditionally. I love God. And it's a quick division. But your conscience can make those decisions, because the law of God's written on every man's heart, so there's no right from wrong. But right from wrong, depending on what's best for me, what's best for others, can take very different meanings. And I hope you guys hear that. So those are the five ways that most people can understand. But now let's talk about hearing personally. I want a personal word for me. I want a personal word that's unique today. And so, let me read John chapter 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Then John 8, 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. This is a real powerful word. So when you hear God, you will not understand if you're not his. You won't even hear the words. If you are his, you will hear. So then this is my whole sermon rests really on this next few verses. In Job 33, 14 through 16, it says, for God speaks in one way and in two, though people do not perceive it. He speaks in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on mortals, and he whispers in their ears and gives instruction to turn them from wrongdoing, from pride, to preserve them, and to keep them from perishing. So these are the two ways, which is really the sixth and seventh way that you hear God, is that inner voice that speaks to you, or through a dream. Now, you're not going to hear God if you're selfish. If you're selfless with the unconditional love of God, you're going to hear God. And what does that sound like? So I'm going to give you a quick testimony, and this testimony is, for some of you know that I had throat cancer 13 years ago. And, you know, when I went through it, it was excruciating. And and I had many times where I would say, God, why is this happening to me? But when you go through it, you can't eat. You have a feeding tube, so, you know, eating is gone. All of my thoughts about business, and, you know, are gone. About making money were gone. It was just survival. Really, all I had was just day-to-day survival and my relationship with God. And so all the three tests of, you know, food, security, you know, success, those were the last thing in my mind. My mind was, you know, was living. And I was like, God, why are you doing this? And God spoke to me. And he said, do you see the grass and the bushes and the trees in your backyard? Because I was in my backyard. And I said, yes. And he goes, you prune those, and I'm pruning you. And I said, but this is too hard. And he says, I bring tornadoes, earthquakes, all kinds of calamities, and the land always comes back stronger, and so will you. I'm pruning you. And then right then I said to myself, but how do I know I'm not crazy just listening to myself talk? And God said these words, I am always talking. People aren't listening. I am always talking. People aren't listening. So God is always talking to you. He's talking to you right now. But if you're in the world, if you're selfish, and you are focused on what's going to make me feel good? Hey, I'm more interested in who's going to win the College World Series game this afternoon. Or I'm more interested in, you know, what's going to happen with, you know, Scotty Scheffler on the golf course this afternoon, or I'm more interested in going to lunch with my family later. If I'm focused on myself, I am not going to hear God. I'm just not. Again, that unconditional love in you is your power button, like an easy button. Push it, boom. I'm an unconditional lover. I love other people. Wow, I'm hearing God. God's speaking all the time. I can hear him. Push it off, go back to selfish mode, don't hear anything. What happens then? Oh, the devil now can save me all kinds of lies and get me all messed up and tell people other people lies, and all of a sudden I'm in all kinds of trouble. The next thing I know, I'm caught myself in sin, and I'm in a snare. And you know, the devil always uses a snare, a trap. He always gives you something you want, you know, selfishly. You know, wow, the apple looked good. It looked like it would taste good. It looked like it would be good, pleasing for me. It's all about me. It's all about me. So I'm going to step into that snare to get it. Boom, I'll try. That's what the devil does when you operate in the selfish mode. So this is extremely important that you guys understand that. So when you repent and you change your mind daily, meaning believing that you're an unconditional lover, and you look at others the way God looks at them, now you can hear God. And our desires align with him. So let's go back to your conscience. When you hear a little voice in your head, that voice can be God. That voice can be God. We're knocking blocks over there. We're throwing them on the floor. But that voice can be God that speaks to you. But if you're selfish, that voice is always going to be about you. If you're selfless, then that voice is going to be God talking to you. And it will sound like you're talking to yourself. But when you choose to get into the Spirit, you choose to get into the unconditional realm of the Holy Spirit, now you can hear God and you can hear that small voice. And that small voice will tell you, you know, that's a lie. Watch out. You know, this person's hurting. Bless them. This person needs help. Do this. And you might say something or do something. The Holy Spirit will say, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't. You're judging. You're critical. And you can hear it. And it's part of your conscience. But you're now hearing it through the lens of God. You're not hearing it through the lens of me. Now, the reverse happens when you're selfish. And the devil is going to start saying, hey, be afraid. Hey, that person doesn't like you. It's not your fault, it's their fault. You know, I don't like the way they dress. I don't like the way they look. You know, they're different. We don't want them here. You know, that's what the devil's going to say to you. So when you're selfish, the devil just starts throwing those darts. And you can choose to believe them, and the world is right now. But if you get into unconditional love, you can say, no, I reject those. I reject those in Jesus' name. Those are lies in the pit of hell. That's not God's will. That's not who I am. And I see those people differently. And all of a sudden, now I can start hearing. So it's very important that you're always in unconditional love. And that's why I gave you guys the six synopses, because they're all based on one thing, the unconditional love of God inside you. That's my message every time I preach. It's only that. Nothing else. There's no three steps. There's no 12 steps. There's no seven steps. You can hear God right now. Everyone in this room is qualified to hear God by just choosing to say, I am an unconditional lover of God. I love people the way God loves me. And that's my new nature. So that's crucial. So now I want to talk about dreams the other way. So what is that inner voice that we just talked about? Now it's dreams. So in Acts 2, 17, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Then in Numbers 12:6, God said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. So when you're in the will of the Lord, so I think it's important that you go to bed every night, you know, get into the Word just for a little bit, tell God you love Him, and tell yourself that's who you are in God. And when you do that, you will get dreams. You know, if you're going to bed thinking about, what am I going to do tomorrow? What's my business? You know, what do I have to do? Oh gosh, if only I could land this account, or if I could do that, then I could get out of trouble. You know, I start thinking about all my problems. Believe me, I've got so many that it interrupts my sleep. I start waking up and I can't think, and I'll just go on tangents. And sometimes they're crazy tangents. But if I get back in the Word, you know, then when I go to sleep, God speaks to me. He really does. I get dreams all the time. And these dreams speak to me and tell me exactly what's going to happen. And it's important that you write these dreams down, because they're not always super clear, but when you will recognize them when they happen. And the dreams are always a warning. So what's an example of when a dream is not of God? So in Jeremiah 23:32, God says, "Indeed, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. Yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord." So the key to this was those dreams don't benefit anybody. If the dreams are all about you, riches and, you know, grandeur and all that, then those are probably false dreams. If they're about controlling other people, there's no benefit to bless others. Again, back to the unconditional love. If there's no benefit, then it's not of God. It's a lie. If the dream has a benefit, it's a warning for other people, then it's of God. So you'll see both in your inner voice and in your dreams, God's going to speak to you. But those are always going to be, they'll be a blessing to you, but it's also a blessing to others. If it's you win, others lose, it's not of God. It's never of God. And so this is so clear, because hearing the Lord is easy if you just say, "I'm an unconditional lover of God, and that's my new nature." Then you're going to start hearing God. But it always says the same things. Taking authority over spirits, same thing. Everything that you do, wisdom, same thing. It's all based on that one foundation. That is the gospel. So your dreams have to be a benefit. So what the Bible's very clear and it says is that your inner voice is instructional. Your dreams are warnings. The dreams are always warnings. And every dream I've ever had has been a warning. And every time I've heard that voice, you know, then it's an instructional. And I'll give you kind of my best example is I became a Christian when I was 27 in 1988. I was a young man that was fairly successful and dated a lot of girls, and I was having a blast, but I was never happy. Even though I'd have fun, I'd be like, I'm miserable, and I'd just become a Christian, and my lifestyle, I just didn't feel good about the way I was living, and I was very conflicted. And it really had turmoil inside me. I was very conflicted because I was, you know, wanting to learn about God, but yet I wanted to live in the world. You just can't do both. You can't do both. And so I said to God one night, I mean, I had a date, and it was just like, I just can't keep living like this. This isn't right. God, I want a wife. Are you going to bring me a wife? And God spoke to me. It was the first time He spoke to me ever. And He said, I will bring you a wife. And I said, and I heard this, and I said, when? He said, you'll get married on June 1st. She will go to seminary, and here's the name. And when you hear this name, that will be your confirmation. It's right. And I was just like, oh my gosh. But I prayed, and I just said, God, I just want to do your will. I just want to do your will. I don't want to live, you know, in sin anymore. I don't want to be in the world. And He spoke to me, and man, I got married on June 1st. My wife went to seminary, and it was the exact name He told me, to the T. And that was an instruction. That was an instruction to me personally, not to the brethren, not to the world, but to me personally. And I've had many times like that happen in my life, and many times I've not listened to them. And there have been consequences. You know, don't hire this person. I hired them. There were consequences. And what's frustrating in my life is that I know this, but yet I still go into the world, whether it's sports or fun or parties or whatever, and I tune God out. And in tuning God out, I don't hear, and I miss out the benefits of instruction. I miss out on the warnings when I do that. And so it's extremely important that you guys understand this, understand that hearing God is the key to your, not just your success, but the success of the church. And when you're worried more about the success of the church, then success for you comes with it. It's like when a tide rises, you know, all the boats rise. Would you rather everybody have success or just your boat? You know, if you're all alone, what good is it? You know, if you can't share, you know, your success with anybody, there's no, it's just you're by yourself, you're alone. But if you can share with everybody, so you want everybody. And God's principle with wisdom is that the more you're a blessing to others, the more you're given resources, because you're a good steward to bless others. And those resources always come through knowledge. They come through knowledge, because then with that knowledge, you know how to use those resources to bless others. And so it's important that you hear God, you know, for that. So I hope this is making sense to everybody. But, you know, why is this important? Why is this important? Revelation 3:17-22. And these are the times that we're in right now. And I highly recommend that you guys go read the seven churches of Revelation. It's they are the fastest way that you can hear God in what he's saying. But it says, "You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy gold from me refined by fire. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let the person who has ears listen to what the Spirit says." So it's very clear you need to listen. It's talking in the very last days. You know, remember the foolish virgins. You know, the bridegroom came, and they were away to the world trying to earn it. You know, they were probably in church saying some Hail Marys. You know, they were, you know, saying, "Hey, I'll do a double tithe like Job was." You know, or all, you know, I want to be a good person and go volunteer at the, you know, the local food shelter. And then those things aren't bad, but it's, again, are you trying to do it based on controlling your destiny, based on, you know, your will, or are you doing it because God's put it on your heart to do that, and he's told you to do this? So then let's look at Revelations 3:8-10. "I know your deeds. I know that you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that has come upon the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." So there's only one church that is kept from testing, Church of Philadelphia. There's seven churches, and the other six, one of those is dead. The other one is into sorcery or witchcraft. Three are into sexual or immorality. And then one is rich and lazy and doesn't need God. And every one of them, he's like, "I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. You've done some good things, but you've kind of gone back into the world." Pretty much is what he's saying. You fell in love with me, but then you got selfish. And your selfish desire, because you wanted to go take another bite of the apple. You wanted to go back into the world. You saw something that looked pleasing to the eye, that was all about you. You went back into what's good for me, not what's good for the brethren, not what's good for the church. And when you did that, then the devil had free reign. He could come lie to you, and he could get you back into sin. And before you know it, you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're naked, you're into all kinds of stuff that's going to ruin your life. And so so what's going to happen is God's bringing a tribulation. Is this tribulation for the wicked? No, it's for the saints. This tribulation is for the saints. It's the harvest. He's coming to harvest the saints. So this harvest, there is a rapture, but the harvest that comes first is, I need to separate the wheat and the chaff. I need to separate my church from the world. And what's wrong is 6 out of 7 of my churches are in sin. And I need to separate them. So how am I going to do it? Turn up the heat. You know, the wicked are always there to punish, you know, the saints that fall away. The wicked is the rod that's used. The wicked is always the rod that God uses to punish us. But it's not so much as a punishment, it is to quit sinning. You know, get back over here. You know, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and he's, you know, they're all into revelry and debauchery and everything. He's like, you know, they all were. He says, those who want to stay in that, they go there. Those who want to come to the Lord, come over. And he divided them up. They threw the commandments down, the oath over, and swallowed all those people. And, you know, 120 serpents went out and bit people and gave them viruses. And so this time that God, that's about to come upon us, is all about separating us from the world. And you're going to go through some hard times. The church is going to go through hard times, except for one. And that's the Church of Philadelphia love. That's the one that has brotherly love for their brethren. They have love for each other. That's the one that's pregnant. And that's the one that I want you guys in. That's the church that I want you in. And if you're in one of the other churches, Laodicea, or, you know, any of these others, move over. Change churches. We've all been church hopping, you know, but change churches. Get to the church of brotherly love. And how do you do that? You do it by faith. You do it by declaring who you are in Christ Jesus, that I'm an unconditional lover, that I see people the way God sees them. So you have to do, you know, part of this is you've given a tool, and it's hearing, listening. And God says this, you know, he says things 2,000 times, 700 times he's asking you to listen or hear him. And it says, faith come by hearing. And so he says, I've given you a commandment. What is the one commandment that you have to listen to? What is the one commandment that makes it all easy? John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. That's different than love others as yourself. Because if you're still selfish, then, I mean, I love myself, so I'm going to love you the way I love myself. And that may not be very good. You know, if I am the right weight, I look good, you know, I've exercised, I look pretty good, you know. But if I'm unhappy with myself, I don't like the way I feel, then I'm going to love other people the way I love myself, which is conditional. It's just conditional. And so, but God's love inside you, he loves you unconditionally, just the way you are. Remember, you're here temporary. The talents you've been given, you know, some people have 5 talents. Some people have, you know, 2 talents. Some people have 1 talent. And I preached on this last time, that the 5 talents may mean an entrepreneur who's good at lots of little things. You know, the 2 talents may be good at 2 things. The 1 talent may be like a doctor or lawyer. You don't want him doing 5 things. You want him doing 1 thing. You don't want him operating on you and saying, I need to think about my portfolio. I need to think about something else. You want them to focus on their 1 talent. But the key thing is that all of those, they got the same reward. It wasn't like the 5-talent guy got 5 times more than the 2-talent guy. They got the same reward. It's just, how are you using your talent? You're using it through unconditional love towards the brethren. So again, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. That is perfect love of the Holy Spirit that's in you. You must love one another. You must love one another. You cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. By this, everyone, the world, will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. So this is the commandment, a new commandment he's given us. The old commandment was, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. You know, and you're selfish and you can't do it because, you know, sometimes it conflicts with what you want. You know, now what you want is to bless others. That's all you want. That's your desire. And it's simple because the Holy Spirit does it. You don't have to do it. And when you do that, you're just going to hear. You're going to hear. And you're going to hear it in your own voice, talking to yourself. But it's going to line up with exactly God's will to bless others, to love others. If you hear it selfishly, it's going to be the devil, demons talking to you. You can quickly discern, based on where your heart is, am I loving others as God loves them? Or am I loving others as I love them? You know, am I loving others conditionally? You know, and then demons are going to talk to you, and they're going to tell you all kinds of lies. And we hear that through the world right now. So we are in the last days. The tribulation is coming. The wicked are being used as a rod to separate us, to force us to leave the churches that aren't edifying, to make sure that we don't go to the marketplace. God wants us to stay right where we are. We do not have to, oh gosh, I need to go do these 10 things. No. Foolish virgins, don't leave. Stay right where you are. Just change your mind and say, God, I love you. I receive your forgiveness. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's my new nature. That's who I am. Boom. Well, it just fills up your life. It's that easy. And it's that easy to hear God. If you have to go to the market, if you have to go do something, then you'll get it. You're going to miss the bride. And so that's my desire for you. My desire is for you guys to be in the Holy Spirit, to be in the Church of Philadelphia Love, of Philadelphia, which is a church of unconditional love, and you do this by faith. So that's my sermon for today. I want to close in prayer, and then I'll, if anyone has any questions or testimonies or comments, I'd love to hear them. But Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you've spoken to us today and that you've spoken directly to the people here and that you've given the word from you and not from me and that they've heard exactly what they need to hear from the Holy Spirit and not from my lips but from your love. And so we thank you for that and we declare that we are lovers, unconditional lovers of you, ourselves, others, that we have the perfect love in us, and that we are hearing from you right now to love others and to be a blessing to the church. And we're going to rejoice. We're going to be happy. And we just thank you so much. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Any testimonies? Any comments?
Yeah. Really love the message, Rick. But what spoke most about it to me was children coming every day. That was just a big blessing.
Well,
just, I mean, it speaks volumes on y'all's life.
Well, thank you. It's a blessing to see him here, and especially the little one back there.
Yeah.
Who tried to disrupt the service. I think he wants to get up here and preach someday.
It's funny,
he does that. It's been a while since we had a baby cry out the service. You know, it's kind of comforting just that. I would love that.
Yes.
Because this happens.
Yeah, anybody else?
Yeah, I would say, Rick, I appreciate your ability to provide instruction. And even if you kind of look at it in a certain way, I say this very, very carefully, some to-dos. But yet and still, you leave it in the hands of the Lord. It's again, probably part and parcel of some of the other churches.
when I would hear God, I didn't think, how do I hear God? What must I do to start hearing God? When I said, God, I love you, I need help, you know, speak to me. And I heard a voice. And it sounded like me talking to myself. But it was distinct. And so, is that you? You know, yes. How do I know I'm not crazy? I'm always talking. People aren't listening. And so, you don't have to do anything. You just have to be with God. Talk to God. God answers. He's always there to answer you all day long. But the key to your walk is, who are you in Christ? You have a free will. And that free will, God gives you the ability to choose daily how you want to walk. Do you want to walk in the unconditional love of God, or do you want to walk in the conditional love of yourself? That's your daily choice. Is what do you want to choose? Do I put my faith in the gospel? Do I put my faith in the law, which I can control, you know, which is the whore? You know, where do I want to put my faith? And that's what you have to do daily, you know. And that's what the Bible says. You know, by faith, you're changed from one degree of glory to another. And it's a daily thing. So that's really the only thing you have to do. And as soon as you do that, you can instantly, you know, you can literally sin and then go to God and he'll convict you and say, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But he will speak to you. It's not like, okay, I sin. I've got to go be good for a while before God will talk to me now. So as long as you have the Holy Spirit, if you've accepted Jesus, you can always hear God and you can talk to God and he will talk to you. And I think it's crucial that we do that because we need to know what's truth and what's a lie. We need to know to turn to the left or the right. There are times coming, you know, do I get the vaccine? Do I not get the vaccine? Do I take the mark of the beast? Do I not take the mark of the beast? You know, do I submit to this authority? Do I not submit to this authority? You know, do I sell my stocks, invest in my stocks? What, you know, what do I do, God? You've got to start hearing God because you have the media, you have magazines, you have the internet, you have all these different things coming at you from every direction. You've got your friends, you've got protesters that are all lined up for the lie. And the devil wants to abort you from the kingdom of God. He wants to abort you from being born into the kingdom of God. And that's what he's trying to do. And so, anybody else have a question or a comment? About who?
God speaking. How do we know when God's speaking to you through a dream?
So, dreams, what I do, and I don't get them all the time.
Right.
But dreams are always warnings, and your inner voice is always instructional. And I can't say that emphatically, but the Bible's pretty clear. When you see, if you just kind of look up, you can just kind of go on your phone, your little Bible app, and just put in, you know, dreams. And it'll give you, you know, 500 verses where there's a dream. And the dream is always warning about what's going to happen, you know. And you kind of look in to hear God or God says, and it's always kind of an instruction, you know, especially in Proverbs and, you know, Psalms and other places. But, you know, to me, when I get into the Spirit, I get close to God, then when I go to bed, I may or may not, but I'll have a dream, and it will tell me about what's going to happen, especially if it's big.
Wow.
I've had dreams that are kind of crazy dreams, too, you know, that they don't necessarily make any sense. But some of them, I know they're God. And those have come true. Some of them are kind of weird and crazy, but it all kind of comes down to, where are you in your walk with God. Where are you right now with God? And you have to choose right now, God, I love you unconditionally through your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit's in me. I love others unconditionally. I love myself unconditionally. That's who I am, because it's you in me. And I'm going to rejoice in that. I'm not going to focus on my circumstances. I'm not going to focus on anything else. When you do that, that's when the dreams, because you kind of like you're turning on the light switch. If I turn the lights off, no electricity is going to come into this room. If I turn it on, well, now electricity comes and the light comes and the light lets me see. Does that make sense? So as soon as I say, I'm an unconditional lover from the Holy Spirit, I just turn the light switch on. Now, God's word, God's voice flows straight to me. And he'll speak to me in dreams and through my inner man. Now, there's other ways that aren't necessarily tied to that, but for a personal word, those are the two personal ones. The others are kind of like for everybody. Here's the Bible app, everybody can hear it. Here's nature, everybody can see it. You know, you can kind of drive to any church, turn on the TV, and there's all these different pastors speaking. And that's going to be everywhere. You know, and even your conscience, even if you're not a Christian, God says that's right, that's wrong.
That's true.
But again, your conscience is the law of your conscience, which is really to protect people from each other. Yeah, your conscience is to protect people from each other. It's not about getting into heaven. The law is not getting into heaven. The law is protect each other from each other. When they said, Jesus, you've committed a sin. You fed people on the Sabbath, or you healed people on the Sabbath. He says, no, the Sabbath was meant for man, not for God. God doesn't need the Sabbath to like, oh, wow, people can't work today. I feel really good today. No, it's like, man, you guys can't make your the land. You can't make your beasts, your livestock. And you can't make your servants, your employees. You can't make them work 7 days. They need to recharge, you know. Give them a day off. They need that. So it's the blood. Every law was to bless people, not bless God. The law is always to protect people. It's not, the devil turned it into a religion. You know, God doesn't need your performance to feel good. He wants you happy, and he wants you safe. He wants you healthy. That's what he wants. Now, when he wants worship, he just wants intimacy. He wants you to be with him. I mean, my kids, I'm always like, I want y'all to hang out with me. Because I really love you. That's really cool. When we go to lunch or breakfast or we do stuff together, that's what I want. That's not necessarily, hey, worship Dad and bow down to Dad. It's no, come hang out with Dad. That's what God wants. I believe that's what he means when he says, you know, he wants worship. What he wants, he just, let's come out. Let's sing together. Let's get on the guitar. Let's sing. Let's rejoice. Let's be happy. You know, I want y'all to hang out with me because I love you so much. And I want to bless you. And by the way, when you hang out with me, I've got some surprises. Here's a new car. Here's, you know, here's this. Here's that. I mean, that's God's no different.
That's
cute. He's no different than that. And, you know, if I give some instructions to my kid on what they can't do, it's because I want them to not hurt each other. When they were young, you know, Richard, you can't hit Henry. You're not allowed to hit her. Henry, you're not allowed to hit Catherine. You know, Catherine did hit Mary, but Catherine made Mary play house, and Mary was always the servant girl, doing all her chores. Okay, let's play house. You know, you're the servant girl, I'm the master, and now you clean up my room. You know, no, you can't do that. Now I'd put in laws. You can't do that to your brothers and sisters. God's no different. But his is 100 times greater. His love is so much greater. He wants fellowship. He wants to hang out with us because he loves us. So much. He created us. He goes, God, let's have some fun together. Let's be together. Let's hang out. Let's sing together. Let's party together. You know, that's God's real nature. And I want to talk to you, by the way. You know, when you leave home, you know, don't text and drive. You know, don't drink. and dry. Don't drink too much. So that's what I tell my kids. God's doing the same thing. I mean, it really is that simple. It's God loves us. He's given us His nature. That nature, and you think about it, if we all love each other unconditionally, you'd have heaven on earth.
Amen.
You wouldn't have any laws. Because
oh, yeah.
No one would be stealing, lying, taking, killing. Because we'd all be helping each other out.
That'd be nice. So that's what heaven's going to be like.
Absolutely. And we should have heaven on earth here in the church.
Amen.
In the church.
We should.
Yes.
But, to your point, we're being taught the gospel as the law.
Really?
Yeah. Most churches are still teaching the gospel as the law.
And
these are the things you have to do. I'm sorry, what?
There's so much more to the Bible than just the gospel. That's just like the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's real simple. Hearing God, there's no effort, there's no work. You don't have to do anything. But what you do have to do is daily just say, I love you, Jesus. I am who you said I am.
Oh, that's good.
That's it.
Okay.
You will never hear me say there's 7 steps, there's 3 steps, there's 12 steps.
Okay.
It's God loves you, God's in you, God's through you, and it's all the same, the Trinity. And that Trinity that's in you, to will and to do, you just have to change your mind, that's who I am. And as soon as you do that, ask God questions.
That's awesome.
God will talk to you.
Scriptural affirmations.
I don't. I just start saying, God, I love you. I love you today. I praise you. I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. I know you are with me. So I try not to pray that I want. You know, I more pray that I am. You are with me. You are in me. I do love people the way you love me. And I will be a blessing to people today. I pray that I am these things. And when I do that, then I hear. Now, I'm still human. And I get caught up in sports and business and food and all kinds of things. And man, it can be so fast that I'm like, gosh, I'm back in the world. How did I get over here? And it doesn't take long for the world to spank me. You know? And I have to get back. And so that's what's about to happen. It's the church has gone so far into the world. They're so far into the world that they're listening to demons. And they're listening to sexual immorality. They're listening to witchcraft. You know, they're praying to mammon. You know, it's all about, you know, themselves. And you can see it. You can hear it. You can hear it on, and quite frankly, when you listen to sermons, you can kind of hear, you know, the law in their sermons. And not every pastor, but it's just that's kind of what we've been taught. So we've got to come out of that. And God's going to use this tribulation to get us out of it. And so, if we can wait for that to get out of it, or you can just say right now, I want to get out of it. I want to go to the church of brotherly love. That's who I am. That's where I am now. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You just have to declare it.
You have to declare it.
Just declare it. That's who I am. It's my new name. My new name is I Am. I'm not going to show love of others. It's the new commandment. Love others as I have loved you, Christ, as Christ has loved you. It's His love. So you cannot love others the way Christ does unless Christ is in you.
Amen.
And that you just have to believe that by faith. That's it. That's all you have to do. So, anybody else have anything they want to say or ask?
That's good.
Okay. Well, thank you guys. This is a blessing. Doing this just blessed me incredibly. And so I hope you guys were as blessed as I was in just studying this stuff.
Thank you.
Okay.
Very blessed.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay.
Coffee before I came in here, but I should have done.
Okay, yeah.
That's my mistake.